Oh, well, good morning and welcome to you all. How lovely to gather together to worship God on this lovely, beautiful morning, actually. It's now gone clear and the sky is blue up here. Let's just take a moment's silence before we begin. I hope you've all got access to the order of service. The Lord called the disciples to be fishers of men. He calls us to follow him, to trust in, rely on, and have confidence in him. Come, let us cast our nets into his waters and offer ourselves in worship and praise.
Amen.
God of our salvation,
we pour out our hearts in praise.
God of glory,
we pour out our hearts in praise.
God, our rock,
we pour out our hearts in praise.
God, our refuge,
we pour out our hearts in praise.
God of mercy,
we pour out our hearts in praise.
God of loving kindness,
we pour out our hearts in praise.
God of power,
we pour out our hearts in praise.
God who calls, follow.
Lead us where you would have us go. Amen. And we come to a time of penitence, of confession, focusing on God's great love for us and for all his world. Lord, just like Jonah, fear can prevent us from spreading your good news or responding to your call to do something different. Fear of being unpopular, fear of being inadequate, fear of having to give up possessions, fear of losing people we love, fear of losing friendships, fear of hard life changes, fear of becoming different. We are sorry, Lord, for giving in to our fears. We are sorry for allowing social or family pressures to influence our decisions. Help us to respond to your call without hesitation. Help us to lean on you. Help us to trust in you. Help us to learn from you. Help us to follow you. Help us to spread the good news. Lord Jesus, you came proclaiming the good news of God and endured the cross through love for us. Through your sacrifice, we are forgiven. May we share this good news so that others will know your loving freedom in their lives. Amen.
And we turn now to our psalm, Psalm 62, beginning at verse 5. Yes, my soul, find rest in God. My hope comes from him. Truly, he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. Surely the lowborn are but a breath, the highborn are but a lie. If weighed on a balance, they are nothing. Together they are only a breath. Do not trust in extortion or put vain hope in stolen goods. Though your riches increase, do not set your heart on them. One thing God has spoken, two things I have heard. Power belongs to you, God, and with you, Lord, is unfailing love, and you reward everyone according to what they have done. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
Well, our Old Testament reading, our first reading this morning, comes from the book of Jonah, chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. The Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our canticle this morning is taken from Isaiah chapter 42. And we begin by saying the refrain together. I have given you as a light to the nations. And I have called you in righteousness. Thus says God, who created the heavens, who fashioned the earth and all that dwells in it, who gives breath to the people upon it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord, and I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as the covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the captives from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. I have given you as a light to the nations, and I have called you in righteousness.
Well, our second reading this morning comes from Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, beginning at verse 14. Jesus calls the first disciples. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you fish for people. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat, mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Time, how is it for you? Do the days seem empty and long and hard to fill? Or does time pass quickly, even though we are in the middle of our third lockdown? Is there still not enough time to do all that you need to? Are you, like me, someone who thought they would do all sorts of things in this strange season when we had supposedly more time, only to find that I still haven't found the time to sort out drawers and cupboards, put photos in order, learn Spanish, play the piano at least once a week, and make a decent flaky pastry. Somewhere in the back of my mind is the recurring thought that there will always be time to do these things later. But our Bible readings suggest otherwise. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. The time is now. In our Old Testament reading from the penultimate chapter of the book of Jonah, Jonah shouts a terrifying message across the streets of Nineveh. It's like a countdown. In 40 days, Nineveh will be overthrown. Tick, 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 like a ticking bomb waiting to go off. And the same is true in Mark's gospel. In the opening in today's reading, Jesus arrives in Galilee with an urgent, no-nonsense message. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. As Jesus begins his own ministry, he invites four seasoned fishermen, Simon, Andrew, James, and John, to leave their boats and to follow him so that they can fish for people. It's a metaphor, picture language. I must admit that when I was a little girl, I loved singing the Sunday school chorus, "I will make you fishers of men," with a particular explosive emphasis on the fishers of men, which we thought was hilarious, but our Sunday school teacher did not. But I also felt uncomfortable with the idea of being a fisher of men. I didn't really like it as a picture of what Jesus was asking his disciples to do. I felt uncomfortable to think of all those fish squirming and gasping to be put back in the water before someone bonked them on the head to put them out of their misery. And as I grew up, I didn't much care for the thought of hooking and catching people for Jesus with all the craft and skill of a fly fisherman. It sounded a little bit devious, a bit conniving. But remember, my roots are suburban. I come from Pinner. But Jesus knows best. His invitation to the four fishermen in this story in Mark is specific and particular, rooted in the language and culture his hearers would best understand. Simon and Andrew, James and John automatically understood the nuances and underlying implications of that metaphor in a way I never will. They knew all about fishing. They understood it. They knew how hard it was, what patience was needed, the skills required, the intuition, the resilience. They knew what tools they would need, the toll it would take on their hands and their bodies. Most of all, they knew the water. They respected it and the life contained within it. They knew their fish. In other words, when Jesus called these experienced, skilled fishermen to follow him, he was not calling them to abandon all their knowledge, their skills and experience, but he was asking them to bring the best of those gifts to be used in the kingdom of God. And that is our calling as followers of Jesus. We are called to draw alongside the people we know who live around us. We're called to know the water. In other words, we have to trust that God knows the context of our lives, and he also knows and values our intellects, our memories, our backgrounds, our education, our skills, and that he can use it all to bring life to the kingdom of God. God values us. He calls us. He longs to use us, even in lockdown, even in the middle of a pandemic. Jesus says, "Follow me, and I will make you." This is a promise. This is a promise Jesus makes to us. If we dare let go and follow Jesus, we will experience something amazing, something new, and our lives will be enlivened and enriched in ways we couldn't have imagined. It's worth remembering that this is a promise from God to us, not from us to God. As Barbara Brown Taylor so aptly puts it, Mark 1, verses 14 to 20 is a miracle story. Jesus calls, and the four fishermen immediately follow. No hesitation, no questions asked. Is this because they're men of amazing courage or because they're super spiritual? Of course not. These are the same men who later in the gospel doubt, deny, and abandon Jesus. They're as fallible and as ordinary as the rest of us. No, they immediately follow Jesus because Jesus makes it possible for them to do so. This is not a story about us, Barbara Brown Taylor writes. It's a story about God and about God's ability not only to call us, but also to create us as a people who are able to follow. Able to follow because we cannot take our eyes off the one who calls us. Because he interests us more than anything else in our lives. Because he seems to know what we hunger for. And because he seems to be food. This is good news. The four men immediately leave their nets to follow Jesus. They have been invited to share what they know of Jesus with others. They have a sense of urgency. The time is now. Do we share those first disciples' sense of urgency? In the end, the disciples make the good news of Jesus their own, sharing their own stories with others, with us. What is the gospel, the good news according to you and to me? And how will we share it with others? In a card, over the phone, in a text or an email, Jesus says, "Follow me and I will make you." It's a promise, and it's a promise we need to lean into. And the time to do it is now. Amen.
We're going to turn now to prayer. After each prayer, at the words, "Lord, hear us," please would you respond, "Lord, graciously hear us. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us." And so we pray, God of the past and of the future, we bring to you in prayer those people and places on our hearts today. We remember the parts of the world where people are being killed, oppressed, and displaced. We pray especially for the people of Tigray in Ethiopia, for the people of Darfur in the Sudan, for the Uyghur peoples in China. May those in power leave behind violence and follow your call to peace. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. Lord Jesus, you called fishermen as they worked. So we pray for fishermen today as they struggle to make a living. We pray for all those who work to bring food to our table as they struggle with the complexities of legislation and the challenges of extreme weather. And may those who exploit or abuse leave behind cruelty and follow your call to compassion. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. We pray for all young people caught up in gang violence, for those who have been stabbed or shot, for their families and all who live in fear. We pray for those who have committed offences, for all those who carry weapons and for their families. Help them to leave behind despair and follow your call to hope. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. We pray for the people of the United States, for Joe Biden as he begins his term as president, for Vice President Kamala Harris, and for all who share with them the responsibility of reuniting that vast nation. Help them to leave behind ambition and follow your call to serve. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. We pray for one another, for our church families, our communities and our loved ones, for all who feel overwhelmed by the challenges of each day, and those adapting to new ways of living. We pray for those who are ill, remembering especially Pam, Jack, Trish, Jen, Catherine, Brian, David, Jennifer, Jean, Rosemary, Mavis, Andrew, Vera, Stephen, David, Geraldine, Karis, Steve, Adrian, Sue, and Michael, and others known to us. And we pray for those close to death and for those who are grieving, especially the family and friends of Vernon Hutchings, Jerry Blake, Bob Smith, Marion Davey, John Burt, and others recently departed this life, and all those whom we remember with love and thanksgiving. Help each of us to leave behind all that separates us from you and from one another, and to follow your call to trust and to love. In Jesus' name, Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. And the collect for this third Sunday of Epiphany. Almighty God, whose Son revealed in signs and miracles the wonder of your saving presence, renew your people with your heavenly grace, and in all our weakness, sustain us by your mighty power. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Believing the promises of God, as our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Christ, the Son of God, perfect in you the image of his glory, and gladden your hearts with the good news of his kingdom. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be among us and remain with us and those we love and pray for, today and always. Amen. Thank you very much, everybody, for joining us this morning. It's been lovely to see and hear you. Just a reminder that tomorrow we are meeting at 8:30 with our friends from St. George's and St. Paul's to say morning prayer together at 8:30, either by Zoom or conference call. You're very welcome to join us. That's the last day of the Week of Prayer for Christian Unity. And for the X Valley, we're having a day of prayer to pray for our nation and the world at this time. Please do take time to pray throughout the day. We need God's intervention and to see his kingdom come in a new way. The coffee morning's at 10:30. You're very welcome to come. And the Bible study, in which we're continuing to look at the book of Ruth, is also in the evening. I'm being pointed.
Didn't say that it was Wednesday.
Oh, did I not? Sorry, Wednesday. Coffee morning is Wednesday. Yeah. Bible study is Wednesday too. And could you just put a note in your diary that the 2nd of February, which is a Tuesday, is Candlemas. and we will be having a service on Zoom or the conference call at 7:30 on the 2nd of February in the evening. And between now and then, if you could find a candle that you can safely light, that would be very handy for our Candlemas service.
It would.
I think that's everything, isn't it?
I think that'll do.
I think that'll do.
I think if people who don't live in the X Valley want to spend tomorrow praying, is that all right?
That's absolutely fine. I'm sure God won't mind at all.
Will that be all right? Yes. So if you live in the town or in Surrey or Gloucestershire or anywhere else, you're very welcome to join in.
Yes, of course you are. We're suggesting either using time during the day, lighting a candle. It's just up. Some people might like to do without a meal. Some people might not, but it's up to you. It's just to pray, really, for the situation that we find ourselves in and that the world is in, and to spend today, tomorrow doing that. Anyway, over and out from us. Go and make snowballs and have fun.